so much appreciate the song service, the message, and the lessons that Brother Harold brought us. Ask for an interest in your prayers. Pray that the Word of God may have free course as we join together and worship Him. Last night we started with the book of Nehemiah, and we got through the first chapter and a little bit of the second chapter. And today I would like to get on through the sixth chapter. Now, we're not going to deal with all of it, but with the Lord willing, I would like to deal with a few more highlights of this book. Nehemiah, as we looked at last night, was still in the land of Babylon. After the temple had been rebuilt, some of the Jews had returned to Jerusalem. But the walls were still torn down. And they were in great reproach there in Jerusalem. Their enemies overran them. Their enemies made their lives harsh. As the reporter told Nehemiah, they were in great affliction. And Nehemiah began to pray for them. And Nehemiah asked the king, King Artaxerxes, to send him, let him go to Jerusalem. He prayed about these things, and God blessed him. And he set about to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the walls around Jerusalem, to erect the gates in the walls for the welfare of the Lord's children, chosen nation, Israel. He planned for this. It was a good cause. We know it was a good cause because Nehemiah tells us that he did what the Lord put in his heart to do. And I tell you, when we set out to do what the Lord puts in our heart to do, it's a good mission. Not only did God put it in Nehemiah's heart to do this, but we find that the people of Jerusalem that Nehemiah visited with and led in the rebuilding of the wall, the people had a mind to work. Amen. And what a great blessing it is when we set our minds on that which God puts in our hearts to do. The Word of God says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And when God puts something in our hearts to do, and we set our minds to do that God puts in our hearts to do, I believe God, by His Spirit, I think we'll be strengthened to do those things. And that's exactly what happened here with these Jews there in Jerusalem. He set about to rebuild and do what God put in his heart to do. And they set their minds on the work. They rose up and said, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem that we may be no more a reproach. And we'll find over in the sixth chapter, in the 15th verse, so the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul, in 52 days. 52 days. And it was completed. Now you would stop and think, and that if God put it in his heart to do it, and they set their minds to do it, and they finished it in a miraculous amount of time, that surely it must have been easy. That God just opened the way and there was no difficulty and no trials, that everything just worked out perfectly. But as we read the book of Nehemiah, we find opposition. You know, I know some folks I talked to once that invited church. They said, went to church one time and we had a wreck on the way. I just don't believe it's God's will that I go to church. No. The test of God's will is not whether it's easy. Quite often when we're doing God's will, the confirmation that we are in the will of God is that we incur opposition. Just as the walls lay ruins around Jerusalem, there was so much rubble, so much ruin that when Nehemiah got there, he went out by night. Probably there was a full bright moon. He rode out by night so the enemies about him couldn't see what he was up to. And he said there wasn't even a place for the horse to set his foot down in some areas. There was so much rubbish and so much rubble. And while you and I will very unlikely ever be involved in building walls of fortification around a city and raising them up out of the ruins that had come from battle and destruction and fire and had torn down all of that city, sometimes there's ruins in our lives that have created rubble that we need to deal with. And when we pray to God and ask the Lord, as the Apostle Paul did, Lord, what will thou have me to do? And when God shows us a direction he'd have us to go in, when we set out to rebuild from the ruins in our life and to rebuild areas of our lives. And I'm not talking about getting our eternal salvation back. We're not going to lose that. But I'm talking about our fellowship. There are areas of our lives that will adversely impact our fellowship, and we can make shipwreck of our lives. And we can lose the joy of our salvation. The psalmist did. You remember the 51st Psalm, he prayed to God that he said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. He didn't ask for his salvation back, but he needed the joy of his salvation. And we can make ruins in our lives that cost us the joy of our salvation. But by God's help, we can rebuild. And by God's mercy, we can rebuild. And by repentance and seeking God's help and relying upon God and calling upon God for His help and calling upon one another and seeking the help of others, just as Nehemiah did. He didn't go back over there and try to rebuild it all by himself, but he went over there and he recruited others into the work. And when he went back, you know, he went back with a decree from the king. He had a paper from the king that gave him authority to go back and do what he was doing. He asked the king for that. He even asked the king, can you give me authority to go to the forest and cut trees to use for the lintels to build over the gates of the wall? And for the build the doors of the wall. And the king gave him that. And he said, you know, give me free passage. Give me letters that I can pass through the lands to get there. And when I get there, I have your authority. He asked for all of that. And he was given all of that. And you know what Nehemiah said? He was successful in that. Not because he was persuasive. Not because he was smart and outwitted the king and could talk the king into it. Nehemiah received all of that at the hand of the king, he said, because of the good hand of my God upon me. Yeah. Oh, you and I have so much today because of the good hand of God upon us. Amen. The good hand of God that daily loadeth us with benefits. Amen. The good hand of God that has so richly blessed us throughout our lives. The good hand of God that has even blessed us to know the joyful sound. What a blessing it is.
Amen.
And do you know your enjoyment and your endorsement of the joyful sound, the truth of the gospel, your choice to serve under the sound of those that preach the gospel as it is taught in this word? may be an influence on others years ahead. You know, someone I was contacted recent months, I was asked to give a DNA test. I want you to submit to DNA. I told some of the people at work, I've been asked to submit to DNA. They gave me a shocked look. I said, no, they're not trying to decide paternity here. I said, they're trying to, they said I'm a direct male descendant of some folks, and they'd like to trace it back and see maybe which group or family we came from. And I got to investigating that a little bit. And I found that 7 generations ago, my great-great-great-great grandfather, in the year 1823, with my great-great-great-great grandmother, were involved in the formation of a church. Shiloh Church over near Loganville, Georgia. It wasn't formed as a Primitive Baptist church. It was formed as a Baptist church. And later on, there was a split in that church. And I found out that my great-great-great-great-grandfather, 7 generations ago, stayed with the Primitive Baptists. And his son learned about the Primitive Baptist through that. And his son down to 7 generations. And my great-grandson, the 10th generation. Now I found out through that blood test, there's another R. Wayne Peters, and he's a Baptist preacher down in Florida, but he's not a Primitive Baptist. He emailed me and he said, I don't know how we've got the exact same DNA under this, all 36 of these Y chromosomes. I was exactly right. He couldn't figure it out. Exactly how we're related. We're working on that. But he's off in another denomination. Now, I'm not a Primitive Baptist because my great-great-great-great-grandfather was a Primitive Baptist. But on the other hand, because of the choice he made, I believe I was introduced to the truth. Because of the choice he made. Generation after generation. And you know that the choices you make today, 10 generations from now, there may be one of your descendants that can say, my great-great-great-great-grandmother, my great-great-great-great-grandfather believed these truths. They may not be known by Primitive Baptists. These doctrines of grace, these truths, and held to them. And I learned about them because they held to these things. The good hand of God was upon him. The good hand of God blessed him. You know, not only did he get what he asked for, but we read in the 9th verse of the 2nd chapter, he said, then I came to the governors beyond the river and gave them the king's lot. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. He got more than he asked for. He got more than he asked for. Do you know God has blessed us with benefits and with things exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think? That's the blessings of God. He didn't ask for a military escort, but the good hand of God was upon him and he got it. He went over and he set out about the work. You know one of the first things that happened when he got there? A guy by the name of Sanballat and a guy by the name of Tobiah showed up, and they were grieved exceedingly because there came a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. And they opposed everything he did. Started out just 2 of them. You'll find that opposition to grow. Next time we read about them, they start criticizing him. They made fun of him. They laughed him to scorn. They despised and said, what is this thing that you do? Will you rebel against the king? They made fun of what Nehemiah was set out to do. And I will tell you, when you set out to do what God puts in your heart to do, people are going to make fun of you. You try to be the kind of person that God's word says to be, And you stand for the principles taught in God's Word. And you stand up for these things. There are going to be folks that will ridicule you. There'll be folks that'll criticize you. There'll be folks that'll make fun of you and call you different names. But if God puts it in your heart, stay with it. That's what Nehemiah did. The opposition came. He said, I'm going to quit because, you know, I've got all this opposition. And they laughed him to scorn. He just kept on going. He said, I told them, the God of heaven, He will prosper us. Therefore, His servants will arise and build. He continued on, despite the opposition. And they began to build. And as you read in the third chapter, different ones built. The goldsmiths and the apothecaries, the pharmacists and the all different ones, the rulers. You just read the merchants, they all built. And they begin to build different portions of the wall. And some did more than others, and some didn't do their part. You read in the third chapter, the fifth verse, and next to them the Tekoites repaired, but their nobles put not their necks to the work of their Lord. The nobles are the rich. Some of this tribe, some of the Tekoites, didn't put their neck to the work. They didn't get their hands dirty, the rich. And guess how their fellow tribesmen responded to that? You know, on the job sometimes, you ever hear people say, they don't do any more than that, and they get by with that. That's the way I'm going to do it too. If you want to fail on your job, you just continue with that kind of attitude.
Amen.
But the attitude of, like we spoke of last night, when you do your work, do it as unto the Lord and not as unto man. Do it with all you've got. Use the gifts that God has given you, and God will bless you in it. You know what the Tekoites did? Some of them didn't do the work. You know, their brothers and sisters there in their tribe didn't say, well, they're not doing it. We're not going to do it either. No, they went on. You know what they did? You read over in the 27th verse of this third chapter. They went on and repaired another place. They did a little extra. They did a little extra. And you'll find throughout the scripture, there's some of them that did a little extra. They did a little more than their part. And they didn't all work in the same place. They were spread out. And some of them worked on the fountain gate where the water was brought into the city. And some of them worked on the dung gate where the dung was carried out. But they all worked. They didn't all have the same kind of job. And they didn't work on the same gate with the same prestige, did they? But they worked and began to build that wall up. And as they were working here, Sanballat and Tobiah, they were bothered with great indignation. We find in the fourth chapter, it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren, the army of Samaria, and said, you see, he's got his army there with him. He begins to make a speech in front of his brethren in the army of Samaria. And he said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? You know, when you try to rebuild areas of your life, there's going to be the naysayers. You've been like that a long time. You've really messed up. And there are going to be those that say, you're not going to change. Let me tell you, by God's help, we can change for good. Children of God can do that. We can repent and turn from sin and turn to that that's right and pleasing to God. And God will bless us in it. But when you do, there'll be opposition and there'll be those that will try to discourage you. But he continued on. You know, Tobiah was there with him. He thought that was cute what Sanballat had said, so he thought he would come up with a little better speech. And he said, "Even that which they build, if a fox go up, it shall break down their stone wall." He said, they can stack those rocks up, but a fox, the lightest of animals, walking along, walk on that wall, it'll tear it all down. There's no substance to it. It won't make a difference. It won't stand. But when we rebuild the God in a godly way, the areas of our lives, God will bless us. And that wall will stand by the blessing of God. And they had the half of the wall built. And we find the opposition there again. It had grown, and now there's more joined the opposition. The opposition's growing, but they just kept on building. Some of their own people. We find here in the 4th chapter, the 10th verse, Judah said, "The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall." Some of those that were working on it sort of started to lose heart and to give up. They said, "There's a lot of rubbish we're having to move here. We're just not able to build the wall. Our strength is decayed. The bearers of burdens, those that carried probably in canvas bags on their backs, or the rubbish and moved it around, so they're just getting worn out. We be not able." That's what they said to Joshua and Caleb when God told them to enter into the promised land. They went over and they looked and they said, "There's giants over there." And Joshua and Caleb said, "We be able. We can do it. With God, they could have entered in." But the majority, the 10 of the 12, said, "We be not able." And the majority was wrong. And the test of what's right or wrong is not how many are for it or how many are against it. The question is it consistent with what God has said? Is it consistent with what God's Word says? And the so-called issues of today that have become such moral issues in our society are not issues at all. They're not issues because God's Word addresses them. And that's the answer for us as God's children. And there's no argument. There's no debate. There's no uncertainty about it. It's sure and it's right. You know, one thing I noticed about this, they worked around their homes. They built in the area of their home. And later on, when they came and began to attack Nehemiah and the workers a little more, he told them, "Be not ye afraid." This is in the 4th chapter, in the 14th verse. "Be not ye afraid of them. Remember, the Lord, which is great and terrible." He says, you remember, God is with you. If God be with us, who can be against us? He said, "God, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters and your wives and your houses." I've talked with many a soldier that have fought in battles and served in Iraq and Afghanistan. And it's interesting. They say, our motivation is not against the enemy. He says, that's not what really makes us want to fight. He said, our motivation is who we're defending and representing, our homes and our houses and our families, our wives and our children. He says, that's what makes you willing to go out on the battlefield and risk your life and face what we have to face. The families are the very foundation of society. God loves the family. God established the family. God loves marriage. And the foundation of a family, of course, is marriage. And all it's being attacked. When you undermine the family, you undermine the very foundation of a godly society. We hear about same-sex marriage. That's an oxymoron.
Amen.
Marriage is between a man and a woman. God established it.
Amen.
Don't let the society draw you into talking about same-sex marriage. You talk about same-sex sin. That's what it is. Society may be for it. The laws may approve it. The president may be for it. That doesn't make it right. The movie stars and athletes may endorse it. That doesn't make it right. The rich may spend their money trying to endorse that. It doesn't make it right. What makes it wrong is what God's Word says. God blessed us with intimacy. Intimacy that was intended to be shared between husband and wife. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. And that intimacy that God blessed us with was never intended for being outside of marriage between a man and a woman. That's the way God set it up. And that's what society is built upon. And I know we're getting far from that in our society. But you and I can hold to the things of the Word of God like many other of God's children do. And I want to tell you, the press and the media might try to make you believe that you're standing alone and everybody else has seen the light except you. Don't you believe what you read in the papers and see on TV. You get to thinking that way. You talk to one of your brothers or sisters in the church. You talk to some moral member of your community and they'll let you know there's a lot of folks that agree with you regardless what the press tries to convince you of out there. He didn't quit. Nehemiah continued on. He continued with I'm doing a great work, he said. They tried to threaten him. They accused him of rebellion. They told him, we're going to come in and by night and take your life. They got nowhere with him. He just continued doing what God had put in his heart to do and continued faithful. And when they couldn't scare him, they tried tricking him. They tried separating him from others. And they tried flattery. And they said, why don't you come out and meet with us? And they didn't get anywhere with that. And then they tried to trick him into going into the house of God, where in that day only the priests were to go. He said, I'm not going to sin. He just kept on doing what God had put in his heart to do. He set his mind on it and he continued, and the walls were finished. Oh, what a beautiful lesson for you and me today. Now, I know some folks get the idea that God puts their things in their hearts to do. I've been told by folks, I think God wants me to leave my spouse. Let me tell you something. God is not going to put in your heart to do anything that's contrary to this word. You can rest assured of that. And if you ever get the idea God's put something in your heart to do, that you test it by the word of God. And if it's inconsistent with the word of God, somebody else put it in your mind. Our adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour. And he transformed himself into what? An angel of light, even the word of God says. You test what you're to do with the word of God. And when God, there's areas of your life when you examine yourself and there's some rubbish that needs to be cleared out and there's some rebuilding that needs to be done, you pray to God for the strength and the courage to do it. And as you move forward and you run into opposition, continue on for the honor and glory of God. And you know, when you reach the end, when the wall's built, the opposition's still there. Very next verse after they says they completed the walls, there the opposition was again. They wanted to tear it down. Stay in the right way with God. Rebuild and God will bless you. I thank you for your good attention.